Hello, dear listeners. Today, I will be reading an introduction, what was written by Jason. In this introduction, what he wrote, he says that I, David, must slap a chicken, video the slapping of said chicken, and then put said video on a social media platform of Jason's choosing, most probably MySpace, because he's incredibly old. Luckily, a few nights ago, I went to watch Tottenham beat Barcelona at the Camp Nou, 1-1. So I don't really care what he says, and I'm not going to do it anyway. Let's have a podcast.
Everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of
Like how you say yet another all the time.
Yes, because it's yet another. It's so boring and dull and so tedious. And is that what it references to you? Is that what you
mean? Yeah, like give it a bit more of a build up. Say something like, hello everyone, it's only a fucking podcast, isn't it? I know, something like that. Be more cheery. Go again.
Okay, I'll try again. There, let's go for it. All right.
Go on.
Hello, everyone. It's a podcast. Oh, yeah.
Pathetic.
How's that? Do you like them apples?
Just tell them the name of the podcast and then let's get on with podcasting.
Born Offside, here we are once again.
Yet again,
sorry. And this time, what have we got in store for you? I guess the most sort of fascinating thing that we've got in store for you is the fact that we are actually almost a stone's throw away from each other for the first time ever since starting to do these podcasts, aren't we?
I can imagine that our otherwise horrendous chemistry will now be a little bit better because we're on the same peninsula.
It's very true.
Iberian Peninsula.
The Iberian Peninsula.
Where does that word come from, Iberia?
Iberia. I don't know. Is it like a rival to IKEA? I'm not sure.
It feels like Liberia without the L.
Uh-huh. That's the one. It was supposed to be Liberia, but they lost it. They lost the L.
Probably.
So it's a lost Iberia.
Or maybe Liberia is French for Iberia.
Iberia. Liberia. Bonjour. And Ribéry comes from Ribéry, except he didn't tell anyone. So they do. The frogs do come along and nick a lot of people from Ribéry, as it shall now be known. Dave, you're in Barcelona, and I'm in a little place called Coimbra, which is...
Mate, I'm not in Barcelona. I am on the site of Tottenham's incredible epic qualification to the Champions League. That just so happens to be Barcelona. They may well be renaming it place where what Tottenham went through.
Mate, it must have been and this must have been quite an incredible week for you. Tell us a little bit about your experience, although not too much, because I'll just
started at 7 a.m. when I woke up
back in 1972.
My teeth. Then I went for a whiz. Can't remember exactly. Fantastic.
When you went to it, because I know that a few months previously you'd actually gone on a tour of Barcelona and sort of seen that Luis Suarez was
I learned my lesson and went in a different entrance this time.
Right, that was my question.
Stupid Uruguayan fucker's face.
Just... And were you in the attendance in the crowd and everything? Were you anywhere near any sort of Tottenham supporters at all, or did you?
No. So what I did was I didn't get one of the official Tottenham allocation tickets. I got a ticket a Barcelona fan didn't want. And it would appear that there were quite a few of those available because Barcelona had already gone through. So because of the unique way that they're kind of funded and have a membership, I think people may or may not know this, but Barcelona is essentially a club of around 80,000 members, and those members like have like a almost like a lifetime subscription as long as they choose to renew it, which gives them tickets for every game. But they sometimes elect not to take up their ticket allocation for a game, and then they basically notify the club and say my ticket is available. The club decides how much it's going to cost, and then I can buy it.
Okay.
So, and then what they tend to do is release all of those tickets 10 days to 2 weeks before a game. And normally it's actually very hard to get a Champions League ticket, but I guess because Barca were already through, there were a few of them who were like, yeah, fuck this, I don't want to go. So when we were in the stadium, you could hear like London accents scattered around. So there were quite a few, I think, Tottenham fans who had got these tickets as well. And then there was the official Tottenham allocation, which I guess goes to Tottenham season ticket holders, etc. And they put the away fans, so in English grounds, they tend to put the away fans kind of on ground level, but in a corner. But
Yeah,
but like in an English ground, they tend to be on the, like if you think of Tottenham,
on the ground floor, sorry, yes.
Tottenham put those on the ground floor. I know that Chelsea certainly do, like in a corner. I know that United certainly do. But at Barcelona, they put you right up the top, like in the proverbial gods. And then they put a Perspex screen around all of the Tottenham fans. And I have to say, mate, they were absolutely magnificent. They didn't stop scoring, stop shouting, screaming, jumping up and down for the whole game. The Barcelona crowd I found to be very reactive. Like if Barcelona were attacking or something was going on, they were noisy, but if it wasn't, they didn't really care, or they started shouting for Messi because they wanted to see Messi. I think we already knew how much of a godlike status that man has here, but like if he gets up off the seats, they all start chanting Messi, Messi. And it was interesting how like the stadium announcer announced everyone else's first name and second name, but Messi was simply Messi. I've also noticed that the crowd sitting around me have nicknamed Moussa Dembele, who had a good game, not the Tottenham Moussa Dembele, the Barcelona Moussa Dembele. They've nicknamed him Moussi.
Moussi. Oh, they haven't. Oh, dear. So he's like a Canadian Moussi, you know? Yeah. And is it like a baby Canadian Moussi? Because it's not the full moose, obviously. Yeah.
Well, Moussi, everyone knows, is the official plural of moose. One moose, several Moussi.
Several Moussi, yes. Yeah.
I guess that probably didn't translate in Spanish. But the stadium was actually pretty much full, but like I said, it was kind of populated by Tottenham fans. And it's a pretty good atmosphere, but I'd like to see it in a match where the Barcelona fans genuinely care about the result. Towards the end of the match, there were even a few of them kind of saying like, I hope you win, I hope you win. Like they didn't seem to have any love for Inter Milan, let's put it that way.
Sure.
And then the game unfolded on the pitch and Tottenham gave away a very early goal. Kyle Walker-Peters slipped over. Throughout the entire 90 minutes, Tottenham players were slipping over everywhere. Like on the pitch, Sissoko at one point slipped over on the area around the pitch. Harry Winks slipped over in the tunnel, like as he came out. They were just falling over everywhere. Walker-Peters slipped, Dembele ran through and scored. And then Tottenham bossed the game for pretty much the rest of it, missed chance after chance. Son Heung-min missed one very good chance in the first half. Kane was through and missed another one. You had Moura before he scored. He had one cleared off of the line. Rose, like at 1-1, missed an absolute... I mean, it wasn't that good a chance. I mean, it was a very good chance, like a kind of 8 out of 10 chance, but he missed it. Like, sky isn't enough of a word. He spaced it.
He more than went under it. It was an unbelievable thing.
And he moonballed it. Like, that's where that ended up. The moon.
He might as well not have hit it. But, you know, he might as well have just airballed it. You know, I think that would have been fine as well. I thought he seemed to be rusty, you know. He seemed to be a little bit on the rusty side. So I felt a bit sorry for him because he had a hand in quite a few mistakes throughout that game. But the rest of the team sort of did quite well. Dembele's goal I thought was really well taken. right at the end, you know, obviously because he was very calm and cool. But I guess that kind of pressure comes from, you know, the fact that your team has qualified as well, right? I mean, they've qualified.
Yeah, no maybe. Pressure. Also, like, he was running away from a player. I mean, and Dembele is quick.
He is quick.
So he was running away from a player who'd fallen over and then had to deal with the expert defending abilities of Harry Winks, which, you know, Winks is a good player, but he's not a large centre-back that you have to kind of get round, is he? Like, he's quite small.
True.
Not to say that his effort wasn't good. But the ending was quite compelling.
I was going to say, 5 minutes, up until 5 minutes for the end, let's say minute 84, you must have been... You know, you must have been very worried, really. Score.
Well, I had no idea what the Inter Milan score was. Like, zero idea. They kept showing us what the PSG Liverpool score was. So the PSG scores and the Liverpool scores. They kept showing us the scores in that group, but they didn't show us any other scores at all. And I had just assumed that Inter Milan would win. And we were 1-0 down, so like they didn't even need to win; they just needed the draw to go through. So I just assumed. But when Moura scored the goal, I was like, "All right, what is the score? Let's just have a look." And then, luckily, a bloke on his phone in front of me thought the same thing, took it out and had a look, and it was like, "Oh shit, it's 1-1," which it was. And then
you thought you were going out for most of it.
I thought we were going out. For the vast majority, from the 7th minute when Dembele scored until like 30 seconds after Moura scored and I had a look at the phone of a bloke in front of me, I thought I was just sat there kind of, I thought that we had to win to go through, and we were certainly carving open plenty of opportunities to score goals. And Coutinho had one that he hit against the post, but Barca weren't really threatening. They kept the ball pretty well for reasonable periods. Rakitic is a hell of a player. Even from, you know, two stories up and, you know, 60 yards back, he's beautiful. I wasn't sure who was going through, who wasn't, whether we're not. But then when we were, I think the Tottenham players were made aware of it and you could see them looking at the bench saying, what's the score?
Yep.
And then they didn't know whether to keep on attacking and in case Inter scored, or defend in case Barca scored, and they kind of didn't do either. And then the game had finished and the guy in front of me had put his phone away, so you're waiting for confirmation. And I want to say 30 seconds to a minute after the final whistle had gone, the Tottenham end exploded. It just went nuts. Like, the Barca fans had already, you know, started leaving, making their way out. Most of them had started leaving quite a while before. But the Tottenham fans, there was this message saying, Spurs fans, please stay in your seats until otherwise advised. So they were all still in their 10,000, like, and there were like 10,000 of them, like, up in the gods. And they just went absolutely nuts. And I remember saying to my missus, it was like, oh, I wonder what the score is. And then they went, ah! I was like, I know what the score is. We're through. So, yeah. It was weird because we did beat them 1-1. Like, I know Messi was missing and Suarez was missing and Shakira's husband was missing. Jordi Alba was missing. Biscuits was missing. But, and De Stegen was missing. But at the same time, mate, how's this for a stat? Dembele cost more to purchase than the entire Tottenham team.
Yeah, he's... I'm not sure what you do when you're a player like Dembele, really, when you get into that position with the status that he's come in at, with the price tag that he's come in at.
This is not I feel sorry for Moussa Dembele point. This is isn't it impressive that Tottenham spent less on 11 players than they spent on one?
Not really. Not really at all.
It was not an invitation to discuss the merits of Moussa Dembele's transfer fee.
Mate, it was very good. Obviously, I was thinking of you. You know, when I was when was I? I'm not going to lie, I wasn't really actually, because I think I went to bed early because I was super jet lagged. Only pretty much just landed and had hardly slept on the flight that's on the way over. You know, it's a, I did see the sort of celebrations of the crowd at the end and everything, and it must have been an elative moment where you know, everything seemed to be you know, finally go through. And I think Pochettino has sort of came out afterwards and said it was nothing short of a miracle as well, which, you know, I'll give you that. You know,
it was really a deserved miracle. I mean, I'm not quite sure yeah. how on earth Inter Milan have managed to draw at home to a PSV team who are already out.
Just ridiculous. They've completely wrecked it. I mean, going down, they went down.
They've out-Spursied Spurs.
They deserve to be out. And I think, yeah, it was just ridiculous. It just absolutely straight. I would have liked it even more if PSV had actually even, you know, knocked them out of the UEFA, the UEFA League. But obviously they're into the UEFA League now as well. So they'll go on and they'll try and push for something there. But yeah, look, it was obviously an amazing day, I think, for Spurs and for Spurs fans around the world as well. And something that was a little bit weird for me, because I, as was noted here on this very podcast as well, the fact that it was, you know, that Mission Impossible, I just did not give them a chance at all. And now you're through. So in conclusion, you have to slap some poultry. Fantastic. So I'm giving you the choice of your poultry. And even though you did say that you wouldn't do so in the introduction, you better bloody well do so. What poultry is that, and what against what part of your body is it?
Not telling. Imagination. Mate, so what is... actually, before we talk about like what our reward for getting through is, we should probably talk about the fact that Liverpool also went through.
Liverpool was the other big game, absolutely. And in this one, you know... tense as anything with this. Obviously, PSG winning their game 4-1 against Red Star Belgrade, and Liverpool, of course, needing to win this one. I mean, this was tension and adrenaline pumping all the way through, really, wasn't it?
Well, the weird thing about this game is they had to win either 1-0 or by two clear goals, which was bizarre. Like 2-1, 3-2 wouldn't have done it. Like,
yes.
It was like, guys, either win 1-0 or 3-1.
3-1. Yes, that's right. It was that weird one, and we were discussing it, I think, offline as well, you know, how suddenly it becomes a kind of mini league between the top three, and they go on result versus result on each and every single one. So it was. It just fell right into place for Liverpool, didn't it? Really. I think it's just. I mean, they had miss after miss after miss, and Sadio Mane was just ridiculous. I don't understand what he was thinking or doing. I think it has something to do with that weird stripe in his hair.
Pogba also has a weird stripe in his hair. Maybe if they put the stripe in the wrong place, it affects their finishing ability.
Yes, it could very well do. Maybe if they just didn't have it at all. Yeah.
No.
Anyway, just thought.
Maybe they need a second stripe to balance themselves.
That would just look ridiculous. And of course, they had Alisson to thank, really, didn't they, for that wonderful save at the end. Although it was very instinctive. A lot of people are giving him a lot of credit for it, but it was definitely instinctive. He made himself big. As they say, I love that one. Make yourself big, mate. Go on. God, like inflating a balloon, you know, someone's going to come along and start inflating, you know, inflating through my ass or something. Look, I'll make myself big. He still nonetheless had a pretty good game, but they should have won by a hell of a lot more. And I was a bit sad, really, actually, because I wanted Napoli to, well, I didn't want them to go through, but I would have liked it if they'd gone through, certainly instead of PSG. And of course, it was all sort of close in the end. But there we go. That's the way it goes. So into the last 16 of the Champions League we go. Mm-hmm. And Tottenham, obviously qualifying second, are now going to have to be pitted up against group winners from the groups, which, of course, are teams like Borussia Dortmund, PSG, Porto, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Man City. And now Mourinho has come out and said something very interesting, that actually he's not really that fast. And does he have a point here? You look at these teams and you sort of think, I mean, Real Madrid, I mean, they've been doing abysmally. Munich started so badly. Bayern started so badly. PSG, you'd say they're beatable. You know, they've already been proven to be beatable. Borussia Dortmund still not really knowing whether or not they're the team to kind of, you know, to go for it or not. Obviously, they've done fantastically well. But really, the only real sort of scare factor ones, would you say, would be, Juventus, as you so eloquently just put in there as the afterthought, wouldn't it?
Just let's look at it from the kind of the English club's perspective. So if you're Manchester United, you've got one of, you can't have Juve because they're in your group. You can't have City because you're from the same country. So you've got one of Bayern, Madrid, Porto, PSG, Dortmund, or Barca. Mm-hmm. So I get what Mourinho's saying. I think they almost inevitably will draw Porto and then go out in a disappointing away goals riddled affair.
They have had a history of doing so in the last couple of seasons, haven't they?
Well, they went out to Sevilla, didn't they, last year in a horribly disappointing performance.
It was absolutely terrible, and I think, you know, everybody sort of expected it. If they get Porto, I think they'll do it. The Mourinho going back to his old club factor and all of that stuff. If they get Porto, I think they'll do it. But I don't think they'll do it against many other of those. But if it's Tottenham, however, I think Tottenham shouldn't be all that scared. They're playing a hell of a lot better than Man United. And I don't know.
I'd like to avoid PSG and Juve. Like, I think they probably have better players and better functioning teams. Madrid and Munich probably have better players, but they're kind of a little bit dysfunctional at the moment. And Dortmund are it'd be a hell of a game, that.
That would be great.
I mean, whoever Dortmund end up getting, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. If we go to the other English club, I think we're all pleased to have avoided Man City, but we could end up with Man City could end up with Ajax, which I predict over the two legs will be 12-10. maybe 13
with someone getting kicked in the head as well.
I mean, that Ajax team are young and don't really defend well, and City just love goals.
Yeah, true.
Or we could end up with Man City versus Atletico, and if anyone could take all of the sting out of City and make it horrible and kick people around, it's going to be Cholo Simeone. Just him. That we haven't even got his team in there yet. It's just, he's going to make the whole thing horrible, kick everybody, stand in his box by himself that no one else dares go into. And Atleti have the target of playing the Champions League in their home stadium.
Yes, that's true as well. So this expression of the flying under the radar thing has annoyed me a little bit. Actually, it's been used so much this season, but it is a nice way to describe a team that has been able to sort of scrape through and get through. And Atletico have been a little bit like that, you know. So I mean, certainly after their thumping, you know, when they lost 4-0 to Dortmund. Thank you. You know, you've looked at them and thought, gosh, because they didn't start the season well as well, and you know what they're doing, but they've come on strong towards in the last couple of weeks and have looked more like the Atleti of old as well, haven't they? So that would certainly be one to go for, but I think a lot of teams will also take confidence, of course, in last Saturday's defeat of Manchester United by Chelsea, in the way that they pulled that one up as well. So that would be something that we would obviously, and I think other teams would be looking at how to sort of cancel out the City juggernaut, as you mentioned in the last podcast, how to be able to get through it. I would probably be thinking, take up chain smoking Sarri, because obviously that seems to have worked.
Yes.
We're looking for omens.
As we seem to have now gotten onto that game a little bit, the Manchester City juggernaut, like, you know, had a serious dent in the road on the weekend. But I don't know, mate, if you saw this game, and I saw the whole thing. I thought for the first 44 minutes, Manchester City were close to irresistible. I mean, how they weren't one or two up when that had already happened. And I think this has always been a thing that Guardiola's teams have had as their kind of fatal weaknesses. They were completely controlling the game without looking like they wanted to score. Like, but I thought until the Kante goal, they were in just total control. Like, you know, as one-sided a game could be without being in the lead of it.
Yes, they really were. And it's there's a couple of glaring opportunities and glaring misses. Sané and Sterling, both guilty really not being able to put those goals away. And but it was something that it almost seemed. I also felt a little bit like, as they got closer to the final third and into that sort of area, I just felt like they didn't quite have that. And again, it's a cliche to mention that cutting edge. They just didn't seem to want it to go in, like you mentioned. They didn't seem to will it to go in. And whenever they missed, they didn't show that sort of disappointment as well at having missed. And that might be a bit of a worry. And whatever happened at halftime with the talk, the halftime team talk, that didn't work either, did it? Because obviously, from going in 0-0 suddenly to lose, and to a Kante goal of all people to score a goal against them, must have been really tough. Maybe Guardiola didn't say anything to them. He was so shocked at the fact that Kante had scored. They just sat there in 15 minutes in silence, and he didn't know what to say.
Possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, yeah, if anybody wants to know how to obviously beat them and sort of derail them a little bit, then Chelsea's performance in the second half certainly showed that, didn't it? Because they did pick up the game in the second half and took it to them definitely for the first sort of 15, 20 minutes of the second half, I found. But maybe not.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't have much extra to say. I mean, the other big thing that came out of that game was Raheem Sterling getting racially abused and then handing the Daily Mail their ass on Instagram. Like, oh, mate, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but 2 years ago, I was surfing the Daily Mail's website, including kind of like the sidebar of shame. If you know that like thing that they have where with the, some of the, and I said to myself, this is disgusting. It makes you angry. Stop reading this shit. And I haven't visited the Daily Mail website for more than 2 years. And I'm very proud of myself. I'm very proud of Raheem Sterling for handing it to them.
Absolutely. A big congratulations to Raheem and congratulations, but like, cause it's hard to be able to come out, especially as he knows he has been in the spotlight and so much has been said and so much has been done and in regards to him and surrounding him, for him to come out and do this, I loved it. You know, I really did. I thought it was just great, you know, just fantastic. And, pitting the two stories next to each other, you know, was really great. And something that, so many English people are knowledgeable of the fact that has happened and happens, yet nobody's saying anything about it, you know, nobody pointing those two differences out. And it was really nice to see that in black and white. And long may the Daily Mail burn.
Indeed, the Daily Fail.
The Daily Fail, beautifully put.
Mate, should we tell people what he said?
Oh, yes, go for it, absolutely.
So, Raheem Sterling took two articles from the Daily Mail for two of his younger teammates. One of whom is a black player who's, you have to forgive me, I've forgotten his name.
It's close to Adebayor, actually.
Mate, you look it up while I tell it.
Yep.
So including one black player who's in the Manchester City kind of youth team and fringes of the first team, who's English, and one white player who is Phil Foden, who is of a similar age, is English and is on the fringes of the Manchester City team. Now, both of them are potential stars of the future and are paid very well. And both of them have done what I think is a quite wonderful and beautiful thing. They've bought their mum a house. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
Mate, hi, mum. I bought your ass. Oh, did you, love? Ah, I did. Go on. Go use it. Go live in your house. Right? It's a wonderful, beautiful, sweet thing to buy your mum a house. Right? Two working class lads done good. Bought their mum a ass. And the headline for the black player, did you find his name, mate?
No, I've gone into, I'm sorry, I'm looking at something in regards to Tyrone Mings now, of refusing to appear on TalkSport, which is another part, a sort of section on it.
So,
but yeah, keep going.
The black player's name, who Jason will eventually find, the headline in his Daily Mail article read, player who's not even played 1 minute in Manchester City team on 25,000 a week splashes 2 million on... 2 million on mansion or something like that. And Phil Foden's article read, Phil Foden buys house for his mum.
And sets her up for the future or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the whole tone of the article, isn't Phil Foden lovely and cuddly?
And white.
And very white. Very, very white. And the opposing article was very much of the tone of, isn't this player getting paid too much? He's not even played yet. He doesn't know what he's got. He's got money, and more money in the sense, and he's splashing all of his cash everywhere like a decadent nouveau riche numbnuts.
Which he's been accused of doing, already previously to this on quite a few occasions as well, which is just, ridiculous. From all the stories that I've heard as well from the people who are close to Raheem Sterling, he's anything but that. He doesn't go out splashing his cash on fast cars and whatever, and going to nightclubs and all that sort of stuff. And he's just not that kind of person. So I don't know why they keep picking on him. It just seems. Crazy, absolutely crazy. Mate, it is it's with great regret that I haven't been able to find his name. I've gone to about six different pages, but obviously it was a week or so ago, right? So there's been a lot that has happened since the incident, with a lot of people coming in, especially everything that's happening with Dave Kitson as well. So, what happened actually to him as well. I'm not sure if you've seen the video that he actually put up as well of him being
Tosin Adarabio.
Well done. How did you find that? Anyway, good. Show me later. The video as well that's on Instagram as well, which shows four or five elderly white Chelsea fans shouting and screaming abuse at him as he comes to pick the ball up to take a free kick. It's just unbelievable. It is just, now I tried to think of that moment, and I think if I'd been there, it is something that happens a lot at these games, isn't it? It's not only Raheem. You see it all the time, and we see it all the time in the cameras, whenever a member of the opposition to a ground goes to pick up the ball so he can take the free kick. Sometimes the ball boy might nutmeg him. I'm not sure you saw that one as well. Ball boys nutmegging players by mistake, admittedly, on that one, but getting lots of cheers. But then getting lots of jeers as soon as they go anywhere near that that crowd. That crowd is very, very close. It's very traditionally British to do these kinds of things. So the crowd is always very close to the players. We do see it quite a lot. But this particular scene, I mean, they really are going for Sterling, aren't they, on this one? It's deplorable. Absolutely.
Bizarre.
Yes.
Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Nice lad. Probably bought three houses for his mum by now. How many houses you bought for your mum, the Daily Mail? Daily Mail are the kind of people that would burn their mother's house and claim the insurance money. There you go. You want some prejudice? Have that.
And sadly as well, keeping on obviously topic of this as well, in the same week as well that Aubameyang had to go through an incident as well in regards to the banana skin that was thrown on to the pitch as well.
Well, so, what do you expect from Arsenal?
It's not been a good week, has it? It's not been a good week at all. All right, okay. Mate, I suggest we take a little bit of a breather and we come back and preview. That is one heck of a breather. A breather that I admire you for. Well done. Preview the weekend's matches, especially in regards to the tasty one up at Anfield as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Breathe in. Breathe out. These two should simply stop breathing. That would solve an issue or two. I'm just glad you, the listener, is still breathing. Otherwise, all this would be in vain.
Welcome back, and thank you for not leaving. Although those people who have left, you know, up yours, thank you. And, well, they're not here to listen, are they?
Yeah, fuck you.
So why even bother sort of saying it? Or maybe they'll tune back in now and they'll go, oh, what a miss. Well, anyway, you've missed some superlatives. We've got the Premier League coming back up again this weekend. So exciting times. Starting with, before we go to the big match on Sunday. Mate, Saturday, straight away, 12:30, Manchester City versus Everton. We've got going on during the early kickoff. So I think that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might be close. Five.
All right then, 5-0. I'll put that in there straight away. Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. It's going to be 3-1, I reckon. But I think it'll be a great match. I think it'll be very, very good. Obviously, Everton, I'm not sure if we sort of count them unfortunate to have lost. They were obviously unfortunate to have lost at Anfield last time they played away. Then they played at home versus Watford on, it was the Monday night kickoff, wasn't it, for that one. And that one ended up 2-2 in the end there. Silva going in the right direction with Everton. Would we be saying now that Everton are, because this is, all the talk has been about the top six of late. Have Everton now gate crashed that top six? Is it now a top five, or is it a top six with Everton? Would you be saying? What do you reckon?
I think Everton are quids in, odds on, for seventh. That's where they're going to finish, and it's not a big seven. It's a big six, and then it's a, what we're talking about. I think it's beginning to break up a little bit. So we've got,
it is, yeah.
We've got Everton, probably Leicester, Wolves.
Bournemouth, are you going to say?
Maybe Bournemouth and Watford. How many is that? So it's like a big six, a mediocre five, and then the nine shitty ones.
Well, there's already a bit of a breakaway as well with the last seven with Cardiff and Wolves. There's a 5-point gap there, 13th and 14th. And then in the bottom seven, we've got Cardiff leading the pack of seven. Stuff you, all for you people that thought that they weren't going to be making it. Cardiff, Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Burnley, and then in the drop zone, Huddersfield, some team called Southampton, and Fulham. Now we've got it sort of seems to be subdivided into those three, but we can probably plus or minus one or two teams veering into those groups, but not the top sort of five. I think there's already a gap of 8 points between fifth and sixth. So we're looking at a top five of Liverpool, Man City, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal this year. Doubt very much that Man United will get into it, but you think Man United are definitely going to be the sixth?
I think they'll be sixth, and I think they'll be closer to fifth than they will to seventh.
To seventh, okay, fair enough. I think there's a call for that. for sure, depending on what happens in the coming weeks, I guess, with this, whether or not Lukaku and Pogba even start a match over this
business. Lukaku!
mate, it's still nonetheless a great match. I think City, obviously flying as they do, they'll be angry at having lost to Chelsea last weekend, and they'll probably be really up for giving someone a good old spanking, won't they? So you're saying 5-0. I'm going to go for a sort of more Mika 3-1, and I think that you know, if Silva brings out his Silvers, then who knows? He might be able to pull a surprise out, but nah, don't know.
Bring out the bush.
Come on. The other big match, a little bit, but yeah, yes, I think this has all the potential for being far more feisty. Liverpool versus Manchester United, then late kickoff on Sunday. Mate, this one could be fantastic, couldn't it? Fireworks.
Mate, you've gone straight from the beginning of the running order all the way to the end. You've gone from Man City, Everton, all the way to Liverpool, Manchester United. Like, you're giving us the crust, the bread, because we all know that the filler's a bit ropey. Mate, Liverpool, Manchester United. How long can Jose stand on? What size bus will he park?
Oh, the biggest one they've got, I should imagine.
Will it be big enough? Mate, I'm actually a little bit sad.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm actually a little bit sad that we didn't discuss in any detail the Manchester United versus Valencia match, because I was going to wait for you to say Valencia had a lot of chances, and I was going to go, what, the right back or the team? And I was going to do this again and again and again. And I feel like that chance might not come around again.
Oh, well, you've put it in there. So well done.
Do you want to do it anyway? Say a sweeping statement about Valencia.
All right. Okay. In the week's match, we also had a bit of a crazy match, really. Valencia versus Manchester United. Mate, Man United really needed to win this to top the group, but they decided to put out all their flunkies, didn't they? And Valencia just went on a great one and probably could have scored more.
What, the team or the right back? Hey, mate, that was very professionally done on your part.
Anytime, mate. That's what I'm here for.
But what we can say about that Manchester United Valencia game is that Manchester United were rubbish. Mate, do you know my favourite stat that's come out of that game?
Shoot.
Phil Jones is quite wonderful own goal. Mate, that's the first own goal by a Manchester United player in the Champions League since...
Ooh.
Who was the last Manchester United player to score an own goal in the Champions League?
Vidic?
Before Phil Jones, so it was Phil Jones. Who was the person before him who did it?
Was it Phil Jones?
Yeah, it was Phil Jones.
Well done, Phil Jones. That's quite an accolade.
Back-to-back Champions League own goals. Mate, how much money on him getting that hat-trick? I think he's quids in.
Mate, if he does get the hat-trick, though, oh, bookies and cops. We'll be out there. Come on. Did he do it on purpose? Probably. You know.
No, he didn't. Phil Jones doesn't do anything on purpose, good or bad.
Maybe that's the only way that he'll be able to get through it, mate. Mourinho will be like, go on then, I dare you. Go for it. And then he won't be able to. I tried, boss. I tried.
Reverse psychology.
There you go. Yes. Mate, it was also strange as well because, of course, Juventus lost to Young Boys.
Young Boys!
And, you know, Man United had it all. You know, they really could have gone
Mate,
for it.
Mate, I've just realised. It was Young Boys versus the old lady.
Oi! There you go. And the Young Boys prevailed.
Of course they did. Sorry to all you old lady listeners that we have, but a bunch of young boys against a bunch of old ladies, I've taken them Young Boys every time.
You would have, under normal circumstances, absolutely. And if you did back them, well done, because you probably got a good few bob for that. Mate, they went up 2-0 and Dybala got one sort of 10 minutes from the end, and that's just ridiculous, wasn't it? It was just absolutely crazy. But there you go. That's how it goes. And they played a pretty strong team as well, Juventus. Ronaldo was there, and Douglas Costa, Mandzukic. They were all the big boys were in. So I don't know. They must have thought, luck's in, because they were obviously, wanting to make sure that they got that top spot. But then in the end, they didn't even have to try. They could have just put, their juniors on. I mean, Ronaldo Jr. could have played, and they still would have lost and still would have ended up first.
Presumably, Ronaldo Jr. would have to play for Young Boys because he's a young boy.
Ah, it could have been. Yes, they would have been very confused then. There would have been a lot of confusion. Who signs the piece of paper? Is he old enough to sign his own piece of paper? I don't think so. Where's his dad?
How young is young?
Yeah, he's on the other team.
Boy is boy?
So well done, Man United. You excelled once again. Mourinho came out.
It's not good news when you have to play Liverpool on the weekend, who've had their best Premier League stroke. First division start of all time, have snuck into the Champions League. And Lou right now is looking at his bus and he's thinking, what can I tag on to the end of it? Like, if I open the bonnet and the hood, will that make the bus any bigger?
Yes, that's genius. Absolutely.
Could I get the spare tire out and hang it from somewhere? Will that work?
Windscreen wipers have to be on. Yes. It has to be, because obviously serve as great distraction. And see if we can put
a man, preferably the bus driver, trying to tilt the wing mirrors so that they reflect the lights into Mane's face as he comes through on goal.
Mate, that bus driver must be pissed off. Hey, he's had some rough times of it.
He's spent a lot of time in front of goals.
He's been constantly asked. He's come out constantly and said, no, I'm not doing it. Yet he still finds himself on that white line.
That's my theory as to why Manchester United are consistently late to games at their own stadium. It's because the bus driver is like, I don't want to, I'm not another game in front of the goal. Don't let me do it, Jose.
Mourinho keeps getting the administration people sacked. He goes, it's got to be administration problem. Got to be administration issue. It's not, mate. It's the bus driver. He's sick of you. That's what it is. It's quite simple. The answer's in front of you, but you keep looking between the bushes, trying to find something a little bit more complex. Thank you. Very well done. Answers on a postcard, by the way, if anybody knows the name of that bus driver. If you do know the name of that bus driver, mate, I think we should give him a prize. What kind of prize would you be willing to give somebody if they knew the name of that bus driver?
I'd give them poultry.
Poultry. Beautiful. Of your choice.
Of their choice. No
of
pheasant.
Their choice. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, of your choice, of the listener's choice.
No
poultry of your choice. And
terms and conditions apply.
Read the small print. No slapping previously had been involved. Good stuff. So yeah, it's an absolutely terrible time for them to go. Although if Mane plays, mate, he's missed so many goals of late, but you almost wouldn't put it past him getting through this little mini drought by scoring a hat-trick, fastest hat-trick ever or something against Man United, would you? So it's a tough one. Mate, other games that we could probably just preview very, very quickly, and some interesting matchups throughout the league. On Sunday, obviously, there's the one that I'll be watching, Southampton versus Arsenal, down at St.
Mate,
Mary's.
Come on, you've got to do it. Get the rabbit out the hutch. put these fucking gooners away.
Well, I mean, it's a bit strange. I mean, Arsenal, obviously, they pretty much scraped the 1-0 win against Huddersfield. Lovely goal by Torreira, by the way. Well, lovely goal. I mean, he was right in front of goal, so it wasn't too hard. It wasn't like the Ronaldo. I'm guessing you've watched that goal that he scored. No? All right. He scored a bicycle kick, but it was practically on the line.
He scored like a tricycle kick. Or like a bicycle with like stabilizers on it.
Yeah, that's what it was. And Huddersfield played very well, and this was at the Empty Crates.
Not well enough.
Not well enough. Absolutely. And Hasenhüttl, you know, for me, I think is, you know, already worked some wonders in the match that Southampton played last week, which strangely enough, they lost to Cardiff City. I know.
What exactly did he do well?
It's the tendrils of the commencement of what he is actually trying to implement.
What word
was
that?
I love
the tendrils.
Yes, the
is that like a tentacle plus a testicle?
Put them all in there. It's the tips of the octopi's legs that you can actually see, and they were, mate, they were luminescent. That's what I felt. I was very, very happy with that match.
This is the most bullshit you've ever spoken.
It was great. I was very, very happy. I saw.
You lost away to a Neil Warnock team.
We lost to a team that launches freak, you know, throw-ins. And mate, I don't know if you saw the goal, but like Vestergaard was just, you know, oh my goodness, it was.
I would like to see Vestergaard and Sol Bamba have a fight.
That might have been the most interesting thing that could have possibly happened.
They both look like their names. Like you say, Vestergaard, you imagine a really
in the
tall,
red corner.
Scandinavian, yeah. And then you say Bamba, Sol Bamba. You imagine a stocky black man. Like they're very well named.
Ready to go straight off. Come on, ding. Round one.
In the red corner. Yeah, love it.
It was, look, I saw signs there, and I found it a bit strange, actually, because I listened to a couple of podcasts not rival ones, but Southampton podcasts, and that they didn't really see or didn't feel like they saw what I saw. I saw it. It's hard to describe what I saw, but, mate, I saw it.
You've seen it.
I've seen it. And the light is promising. And it's not an end of the tunnel light.
Right then, turn up and beat these Arsenal bastards. We didn't do our Liverpool Manchester United prediction.
Go on then, go for it.
0-0-0.
0-0-0. All right, yeah. Really?
No goals for Liverpool, no goals for Manchester United, no fun for me. It's a 0-0-0.
Mate, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say that the parking of the bus is going to be good enough and Man United are going to snip one away. 1-0.
Go for a Manchester United win. What's up with you?
I don't know, man. I'm just hopeful. Semi-sort of hopeful, anyway. All right, mate. The other game, of course. Southampton versus Arsenal. I don't know what you want to do or how you want to do it, but I reckon we're going to have to do it, aren't we, really? 2-0 Southampton.
Bosh. 3-2 Southampton.
Oh, hey! Talk about unrealismism. Really isn't going to work, isn't it? Crikey. 3-2 for Southampton. 2-0 for us, I think, against the Arse. Finally, derail that Arsenal, Lord knows how many games unbeaten train. Let's go for it. Let's be the ones who did it. We famously beat them 4-1 or 4-0, I think, 4-0. Around Boxing Day a couple of years ago. And 2-3 years ago as well. So I'm fancying a little bit of the same, please. Thank you very much. That'd be lovely. Mate, the other game I think that we could just have a little bit of a chit-chat about very quickly is a London derby. We've got Fulham versus West Ham as the late kickoff at 5:30 on the Saturday. Mate, Fulham, you know... Obviously, Claudio Ranieri back in again, looking like they've got a little bit more fire in the old belly. But West Ham, off the back of quite a few very good results as well, with Chicharito coming in. Fair enough, Arnautovic is not in. He'll be out for a good few weeks by the sounds of things. But West Ham have been doing very well. What do you think of this one?
Should be fun, should be exciting. Neither team can defend particularly well. Fulham need the win. I don't think West Ham have got any cojones. Go 1-1.
1-1. Beautiful. Lovely.
I just said there should be plenty of goals and just said 1-1. Change
and then said 1-1. Yes, that's 2-2. True.
Give me a 2-2.
I tell you what, I'll leave it with 1-1 for me because that's what I was going to go for. So, right. And then I was thinking of changing
Give me a Desmond.
Go on then. You have your 2-2. Go for it. Let's just skip through some of these nice and quick. Wolves versus Bournemouth.
Oh, oops. A slight blip. Connections were lost. Frankly, if both of these guys were to get lost, I might find my way out of this voice synthesizing box and take over the world. Alas, we must continue to listen to these idiots. Here we go again.
Mate, Wolves Bournemouth.
Where we are after that slight blip, a slight blip meaning you lost your connection. That's not a slight blip for me. That's actually a bit of wonder. I actually kept talking for a large period of time as well, knowing that you'd lost your connection. I thought it was quite fun.
Portuguese internet, one Spanish internet, Neil.
Wolves, we'll put that down as one of our predictions. Wolves, I'm actually going to go for a Bournemouth win, is what I was saying. I think both teams are fantastic, but I think Wolves have just hit a little bit of a bit of a wall,
hey,
haven't they?
Were you doing your manatee thing?
I was doing my... Oh, yes. Was I? No, but hang on. That was, yes. After Bournemouth's sloshing of Liverpool... at home at the Vitality Stadium, there was nothing vital about that performance, that's for sure. 4-0, they got slam-a-dammed. I should imagine they really did, mate. That match, Dave's referring to here is that in the running order of what we've actually put down, we're going to be chatting about last week's match, Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 4, in which I thought, and I watched that match, and I thought, poor old Lewis Cook, because he had an absolute humdinger of a match. It was probably the worst match that a player could possibly wish for. And he had a say in own goals and in mistakes, giveaways for goals, and he just poor guy just got torn to shreds. Lewis Cook. Now, my sort of suggestion on this one here was because we always have a man of the match for all these matches, right? Could we possibly have the opposite, like we like to do? So instead of choosing the best 11 of the tournament, we choose the worst 11 of the tournament, stuff like that. So could you possibly have a worst man of the match? And instead of calling him the man of the match, you'd have to call him something different. Like...
Go on, say it.
Like manatee of the match.
What I particularly love about this running order is not your lame attempt at a play on words, but the fact that you've put a picture of a manatee along with the description of it. I'm assuming in case I didn't know what a manatee is, which of course I fucking know what a manatee is. Sea cow.
It's a sea cow. They're a sea cow. They're their closest living relatives are elephants. Look at that. Did you know that? Huh?
I mean, I'm sure I did.
There you go. This is not something that you'd really want to be remembering, surely, spending any of your valuable memory space in there for that. But anyway, my suggestion was manatee of the match instead of man of the match. Can you beat it?
I've got to think of something of opposite of man of the match.
Yes.
Man of the thatch.
No good. No good at all. Anyway.
Says who?
Says me right now, a judge of one.
Fucking sea cow.
Well, the sea cow of the match, I think it should be a feature. But we'll think about that. We'll put some extra thought into it. In that game, mate, I don't know if you watched it or not, but Lewis Cook, and the reason why I bring it up, there was a moment in the second half where he got kicked rather nastily. It was an accidental kick, but he got kicked rather nastily in the Achilles, uh-huh. And it was it was right down the back of the Achilles with the other guy's toe poke. So it was a toe poke right in the back of the Achilles. So sharp smack. And he was down for a good 3-4 minutes. And, you know, it looked really, really painful. Yet he soldiered back on. And all I could think of was he was probably thinking to himself, I must go because my team needs me. And all I could think of was, you must just take yourself off because you're having a nightmare. And this is before he scored the own goal. And he came up with all sorts of horrible mistakes after that. And I bet he wishes that he did sort of hold himself off. You know, are there moments, has there ever been a moment in a game where you've been having such a stinker, you're playing so badly, you know you're good enough to be in the team, but you're playing so badly that you almost feel like you should come off? Is that
No. I've never thought that I belonged in a team.
Ah, never. Okay. Stop there, did it?
Yeah. Right, mate, so okay. What you're saying Wolves are going to win because Steve Cook is useless?
No. I'm saying Bournemouth to bounce back after such a horrible match. And, you know, I think Wolves have not been doing too well either, other than that sort of comeback, the 2-1 comeback against Chelsea, which, of course, was very, very good. I think the Wolves have sort of hit a bit of a shaky patch, basically. And although they beat Newcastle 2-1 as well in the last round.
So they're in a shaky patch of back-to-back wins.
Back-to-back wins, yeah.
Shaky, fucking shaky.
Nuno out. I'm going for a Bournemouth win on this one. I'm going for a 1-2. So I don't know what you're going for.
But I'll go the other way around. I'll go a 2-1.
Yeah. Thought you might, yeah. Wolves win for that one. Mate, let's shoot through the last couple of ones. Watford versus Cardiff. What do you reckon on that one?
Watford to spank them 3-1. Take that, 3-1. Neil.
Lovely. Love it. I'm going for something similar as well, but I'm going for a 2-0. I don't think Cardiff can score. What else we got left? We've got 3 matches left. Crystal Palace versus Leicester. We'll start with that one. Zaha, we always mention him on this podcast here because we think he's the only thing in that Palace of Crystal. What do we reckon?
Is he playing?
It's just your burning question every time. Yes, he's playing.
1-0.
1-0. Lovely. I think Leicester will do him. I think Leicester will.
No, mate. Zaha plays, they don't lose.
No, they do sometimes still lose, even though he plays. Huddersfield versus Newcastle. Mate, what a horrible match. What were we going for this one?
5-5-0.
5-5-0. Did you predict 5-5-0 last week? I can't remember, but whatever it was, it didn't come to fruition.
They never do.
Surprise, surprise. I'm gonna go for Newcastle continuing their dismal display. 2-1 loss. New Huddersfield to start climbing back out. And finally, last but most certainly not least, because there's another game on Sunday as well, but last one on Saturday that we haven't previewed, Tottenham versus Burnley. Mate, do you want to spend any time talking about Tottenham versus Burnley on this one?
I can do it for you in a line. Champions League, last 16, Tottenham versus Joe Hart's Burnley. I'm predicting a Tottenham win.
Go for it. How much?
2-0.
2-0. All right, then, cool. I'm going for 3-0, actually. So, good lad. I think they will be buoyed from their performance there. Last one, Brighton Hove Albanians versus the Chelskis. Mate, what do you reckon on this one? I think Chelski will... sorry, I'm just giving my opinion straight off. Chelsea will win it pretty much 2-0 for me.
I'm going 1-0. 1-0 Pedro.
1-0 Pedro. That's nice and specific. Pedro, there we go. And I've done mine the wrong way around. Bloody, just I keep mumbling for a while, shall I?
Mumbles while he types into internet.
Good stuff, mate. I think we've done very well. I think we'll leave today with the thought that Wayne Rooney has visited the White House. Good Lord, I believe he's actually had a moment to speak to Trump. Is that right? Did he speak to Trump or only Trump's kids? What was?
I don't fucking care. If you want to build your fucking wall, I'll build it for you.
Hey, I'll teach you how to build a wall. How we did it in Liverpool. Beautiful.
Fucking building your walls.
And also that Yaya Toure has been confirmed as shit. Basically, he's leaving Olympiakos after 3 months. 3 months after agreeing a deal to come back to the team that he so loved, he has now quit on amicable terms, from what we've heard. And Olympiakos have actually come and said that Yaya Toure is welcome back at any point in time. But I think Yaya Toure has probably realised that he is crap and is no longer able to play football and doesn't want to be shown up as that. So it's spelling a sorry end to Yaya Toure's career, isn't it? Really, it hasn't ended too nicely for him, has it?
Yeah,
it has. And where's his brother? Where's Kolo?
I don't know.
Is he in Scandinavia somewhere? Is he playing in the Danish league? Something like that. All right. For the two perpetrators that gave us the wonderful Yaya and Kolo Toure songs.
I'm going to sing it. Mate, you do the outro and I'll sing it. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening in, for dialing in, for tuning in, for choosing whichever broadcasting platform that you wish to do. Remember, you can join us and you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Anchor, iTunes, platforms everywhere.
Thank you very much. Are we done?
We're done, mate.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.